Welcome to part one of two segments, Kamau Dental Office Radio. The host of this show is Dr. Stephen Snake, Chief Operations Officer. Stephen Snake.
All right. We're really excited to be here in the studio. This is Stephen Snake, the Chief Operating Officer over at Kamau Medical Center, and I'm really pleased that we have Dr. Bradshaw, a longtime dentist of Kamau Medical Center, and he's joining us, as well as Aussie Young, who is the dental manager over at Kamau Medical Center. So we wanted to give you a little bit of our introductions and kind of how we got into this field and our general duties. So as mentioned, I'm the Chief Operating Officer, and that covers multiple departments. Dental is one of the departments that I help oversee and work with the managers and staff there to try to make sure that we're continually improving and meeting the population's needs, and looking at things like budget and staffing and patient complaints or patient comments, and some of the good things that are going on, and looking at the general public health of the population. And so that kind of encompasses a little bit of my role, and I've now been at Kamau Medical Center for close to 3 years. So I'll go ahead and pass the baton to Dr. Bradshaw, who's a dentist.
This is Dr. Bradshaw. I've been here in Hoopa since 1983. It's a great place to live. I love my patients and my staff, and it's nice to be here.
I guess we'll go ahead and then move on to Aussie Young, our dental manager. If you could tell us about what sort of duties you do and how long you've been at Kamau.
Hi, my name is Aussie Young, and I have been at Kamau since October of 2020. My general duties are to oversee the dental clinic staff.
One of the things that I want to point out is Aussie covers all sorts of different roles, and so maybe you could tell them a little bit about from the front to back, because there's a whole process of oversight, where as far as people checking in all the way through coding and billing and, you know, even the dental procedures.
Right. So right now we are working from a list of close to about 2,000 patients that were canceled due to COVID-19. So we are calling people to let them know that we are open for services, and trying to make them an appointment. During that process, we are finding out that many of our patients haven't had exams for quite a while or cleanings, so it was decided by our director that we would bring the patients in for an exam, just to make sure that, you know, everything that needs to be done is put on a treatment plan, and then that patient knows what procedures need to be done and the appointments that need to be made. Our check-in process right now is when you come in, you need to remain in your car and call the office to check in. And that number is 625-4261 and the extension is 311. Our front desk staff will then go out to the car to the patient and take their temperature and do a screening for COVID, and then also dental pain if there's any. They'll also be given any paperwork that needs to be updated. And after that's done, the patient remains in the car until the assistant comes out and gets them for treatment. Masks must be worn at all times. The patient's hands will need to be sanitized prior to entering the building. And then to keep minimal contact and the 6 feet distance, we're only allowing patients in the treatment room, with the exception of small children who may have one parent come in with them.
Well, thank you for sharing a little bit about the process. Maybe if Dr. Bradshaw and you can speak a little bit about some of the new features, I guess, if you will, of the dental clinic and how we're taking those precautions.
Well, I would like to throw in some of the things that are kind of exciting with the new equipment that we've got. One of the things that we received were some jade air filters, and these things are pretty impressive. I think all our patients are really overwhelmed when they see these things in action, because it's an air filtering system. It stands about maybe 3 feet tall. It's a three-layer system. It has a HEPA filter, which I think most people are familiar with. And inside that HEPA filter is a carbon filter, and inside that carbon filter is a UV filter. So there's three layers of filtering that goes through the air. And so these things are extremely quiet. I mean, I think everybody has had, or most people have had, or know someone that's had a HEPA filter and how much noise these things make. It's kind of like incredibly noisy, but these things are really quiet. They circulate a lot of air. And we got these because of the COVID-19 crisis. The concern is, since it's an airborne virus, trying to have as clean of air as possible. And so these things are sucking air constantly. And so we're looking for next smoke season to see everybody's going to want to run the dental to get some fresh air.
So how many do you have over there in the dental department?
Six?
Yeah, seven.
There we got one up front, but I never get up front. So we got seven units, one in the front, and the other six are in the back. And I've been really impressed. They're incredibly accurate machines. They're no-touch machines. You have to wave your hand over them to get them to turn on or turn off, which is pretty incredible technology. And the other thing that we've got was something called an Isolite unit, which is a high-V suction device that we put in patients' mouth to try to keep the aerosol production down to a minimum. Because I guess, as you know, Dr. Stake, with COVID, it's an airborne virus, and so anything we can do to reduce, you know, aerosols is a very good thing. We can't completely eliminate any risk, but it keeps it to a minimum. We had a patient in yesterday, and I think one of my assistants said it's like we're putting a jellyfish in your mouth. The patient was very happy because it has a bite block, so you can rest your jaw while we're working on you, and it has a light, which makes it easy to see, and has an incredible suction. So we're not using that on everybody, on selected cases where it's appropriate. We still are doing other precautions like rubber dam placement and the use of the HV units to keep things to a minimum. But those are probably the two most exciting things that we've purchased. Thank you to whoever was made that possible, because it was not cheap. And we've been real excited about being able to use those things. What do you think, Aussie?
Yeah. So we're also, in order to keep our 6 feet distancing, we're only using every other operatory. And then, of course, we're making sure the patients are, you know, continually wearing their mask until we start their procedure. Our PPE is, we're wearing, you know, full our scrubs, and then over that we wear a jacket, a PPE jacket, and glasses, N95 masks.
Face shields. And so,
hello,
like an astronaut or something. But yeah, so don't be alarmed when you see us under all our gear. We're still under there somewhere.
Well, that's great. I know that it's been a challenge, certainly, of looking at how to open up dental in the midst of, you know, COVID-19 threat and keep everybody safe. But just as a general overview, I mean, we have, what, seven major air purifying units within the building. We have all of the PPE for personnel, including extra PPE over, you know, the face shields, and then in addition, we're doing screening of patients, screening of staff, and then we've also split up between the different offertories so that it's every other offertory, so that people are more spaced out. And then also the Isolite is what you mentioned. And you said it's a little bit kind of like having a jellyfish in your mouth. Or has there been any complaints with the Isolite? Or has everybody had a pretty good experience?
I think, like I say, our patients, some of them may not really like it, but they don't complain a lot about it. I think we try to explain to them just extra precautions because of COVID. And I think most people are agreeable or understand what we're trying to do. But we've had some patients really like it. So if you haven't tried it, you know, it might be coming your way. We don't use it on every procedure. It depends on the procedures that we're doing. But it's basically like an extra vacuum device that sucks out aerosols while we're working with the drill. Because aerosols are produced anytime we use a handpiece or a Cavitron or something that generates a lot of, debris or spray. And so those are the conditions in which we use it. That's not required for every procedure. Mm-hmm. But it's a silicone soft material, and it isolates the area that we're working on. So it's kind of hard to describe, but it's very efficient.
Well, thank you. I know it's exciting to be back up and running and doing all the different procedures. Can you both talk a little bit about what is a dental treatment plan?
A dental treatment plan basically outlines the idea or the thought of the treatment that the patient needs. And you try to prioritize that by needs and how that's going to work with the patient to give them the best clinical result. Now, the best of plans always change. So even if we come up with a treatment plan, we have to work with this because things change all the time. We have a great plan and somebody comes in the next day and they broke their front tooth. So that plan is pretty much has to be modified or changed. But we have a Dentrex system, and on that electronic system, they have a real nice elaborate forming that you can write out a treatment plan so that both the front and the back know what's expected, what the next treatment's going to be entailing, and the process that's going to involve. Dental's been trying for a number of years to go paperless, and that's still a process that we're working on to eliminate any paper chart and go completely electronic. And that's something that's been mandated for a while, and we're still working to get that process complete.
So as a dentist, whenever somebody opens their mouth, I know that part of the dental treatment plan is obviously doing some sort of screening and kind of looking. So generally speaking, when a patient opens their mouth, like, or what are you looking for, and how do you go through that process of creating the plan and then encouraging folks with their dental hygiene?
Well, I think that the first thing you do is you look for obvious oral problems, infections, you know, things that shouldn't be there, oral cancers, that thing is the first thing you're looking for. Then you individually go through and look at every tooth and see, you know, what do you see visually? And you compare that with the x-rays that you take for more clinical information. You try to compile that information and you try to evaluate patients' needs. What's likely to give the patient trouble the soonest? Does that have to be addressed first? Can other things be delayed or done later on? So you basically are trying to work with the patient to provide the best care you can to get them to optimal health and avoid complications, infections, or pain. And that comes with the hygiene. If things are really in bad shape, you're talking about extractions, talking about root canals, you're talking about restorative work, talking about partials, dentures, whatever it might be, to try to get that patient back to the best oral health we can.
I got another question I can
oh, yeah.
Put
ahead,
in
Joe.
Here. Going back to the process, one of the things that I had noticed, the technologies that had changed, is the x-rays. Mm-hmm. Before, it was really hard. You're holding on to this cardboard thing and pressing down on it, and then they bring this machine and they do the x-rays and they have to take it out. And now it's all digital.
Well, I think the thing I love about that, Joe, is you remember... not to put you, that you're old like me, but remember the old days we had a little x-ray that was actual life size of your tooth. We had that little view box and saw the things like this big. And so you'd have the patient look at that and you can see what I see, right? And now, like you say, with the digital, it's on a monitor and this thing's blown up. It's like as big as the patient, right? Their tooth, that we can show you exactly what's happening. So that technology has improved dramatically with digital x-rays. The amount of x-ray that you're receiving has been reduced tremendously, and the image and the software that we have makes those images much more efficient. So, well, yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, I mean, you answered my second question is, what's the difference between the x-ray technology then and now?
Right. The biggest thing is the sensor. So, you know, when we take a digital x-ray now, it used to be when we took a conventional x-ray was kind of like you taking a photograph. It was on a plate, and that plate had to be processed just like you would a black and white photograph. You'd put it in a developing tank and a fixing tank, and then you would take the film, which you had to wait for, to actually see the x-ray. So now it's like a digital x-ray is like a digital photograph. Instantaneous image, doesn't have to be processed, and you can see it on a larger screen.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, because I've had a lot of work done, my dude. Yeah, yeah.
And I imagine, I mean, just from a public health perspective, it's really hard because there's such a demand. I mean, we've had times when we've been backed out for 3 months, and you know, to be frank, we've been advertising for a dentist, and sometimes we don't have a full staff, and there are literally thousands of people in the valley who would like to come in and get dental care. So I know that puts a lot of pressure on the dentist to try to make the most out of the time and make a lot of tough decisions, because you may not be able to give everybody a complete dental makeover, but you target the
right.
the most needed areas.
I think that you probably, you know, with like medical, you have to triage patient needs, what we can provide, what we can't, and we try to do the best we can. And I know a lot of people are thinking, I've been working for this for like 3 years, when is this going to happen? And we have to ask for their patience, because as you say, our biggest need is manpower, and we definitely have always been understaffed, and I don't see that changing anytime in the near future, unfortunately.
Yeah, so there is a dentist shortage, I know, across California and even more so Humboldt County, and then even more so in the rural areas. And I know there's a bunch of programs to try to get folks out to the rural areas, but it's still a challenge. And so thank you both for your service, like within dental and helping out. But I know that it's a difficult time, and I don't know, do you want to put in your 2 cents about being a dentist and try to persuade any folks out there to enter into the field?
Well, I think I enjoy being a dentist. I think the things that make it exciting is it's challenging. There's a lot of science involved. You have to be constantly thinking. You have to be flexible. You have to enjoy working with your hands. So I think to be a dentist, it involves an awful lot. I don't think people realize how physical it is. I mean, when you think of being a dentist, you think that can't be that hard, but it is physically, mentally challenging. And like I said, with the needs that we have, it's a demanding but rewarding occupation. I think if you like helping other people, getting them out of pain, and trying to make them feel good about themselves, it's not a bad choice as a career. I've enjoyed it, and I've been lucky to be here, and still here.
Yeah, we're and I know, Aussie, you have a lot of different experiences and different roles that you've played throughout the years within a dental department. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So I've worked as in the dental field for a little over 15 years, and I started out as a dental assistant, and I went to school at CR and became a registered dental assistant, which is basically an assistant that's licensed. And so I worked several years as an RDA.
What is an RDA, just for those listening in?
Just a registered dental assistant. That's all it is. And they have a license, so they can do more duties than just a regular dental assistant.
And what sort of training did you have to do to be an RDA?
So the school at CR, I believe, is a one-year program. It might be 2 years. And so you just learn about dental science, materials, you learn how to make temporary crowns, and you learn how to clean, do prophes on people's teeth, flossing, oral education, you learn to take x-rays, and that's pretty much it. You graduate with an AS degree, I believe, in dental assisting, and that's what I did. So I worked for a nonprofit in Eureka, and I worked as a dental assistant for several years, and then I did dental billing, which was a fun specialty also. You learn a lot about dental insurance and what's accepted and what's not accepted, those types of things. And then I worked as a receptionist and then a...
Well, I think it's really great that she spent a lot of time with the Open Door Clinic in Eureka, because, I mean, that's our neighbor. I mean, that's probably the only provider in the area that takes dental Medi-Cal. So it's nice that we have input, because where she's worked for a number of years is, like I say, is a real lifesaver for the community on the coast and everywhere else. Because how many clinics do they have now, Austin?
Dental clinics, they have 3. There's one in Del Norte, one in Fortuna, and one in Eureka.
Okay.
And it's been really interesting over the past couple years that we've had the opportunity to have a grant within the dental department called the Dental Transformation Initiative. Unfortunately, it's winding down, but a lot of that, it pulls together dental departments from all across the county,
right,
and essentially working together to address public health needs and the shortages within the county. And so we've been working with them for a number of years doing outreach. Christy from the department has been doing outreach. We've been able to provide a lot of toothbrushes, toothpaste, dental picks, all sorts of different things. And you want to share a little bit about what sort of things you guys have been giving out and doing in the community?
Yeah, so just recently we gave out, I think it was around 700 electric toothbrushes to everyone in our service area. So basically kindergarten through 12th grade got an electric toothbrush. We also deliver toothbrushes to Wichpeck and Pequon and Orleans. So they're really nice electric toothbrushes. You know, they do a really good job if they're used correctly. So we did that, and then we are also giving away a dental Christmas bag here in about a week, and that will have a bunch of goodies in it that are related to dental, as well as some fun stuff. So you'll get like a new toothbrush head for your electric toothbrush, some toothpaste and dental floss and mouthwash. So that'll all be in there in that bag.
And then I did notice we put on order a lot of dental props and educational materials. Do you want to share anything about that?
Yeah, so our educational props are they're like puppets that have big teeth that the kids can look at. And we can, you know, basically show them how to brush their teeth and how to floss. And it just kind of makes it a little bit more fun to learn how to brush your teeth. We also have like these plastic dental teeth that show how decay starts on the tooth and, you know, how it progresses. So we can kind of give a visual to our patients to show them what that process looks like and then how we can correct it.
I got a question. Why do we have teeth? What role does teeth play in the digestive system?
Okay, there's a lot of things that you can say why we have teeth. Okay, teeth, basically, if you think of people as being an animal, okay, if you look at any animal who's a carnivore, or, you know, even animals that aren't carnivores, you have to masticate or you have to break your food down for your body to absorb the food. So if you don't have teeth, your ability to chew or break food down is greatly diminished. Now, you can offset that with a blender. I mean, you could grind your food up, which would make it easier to dissolve. But basically, when we talk about enjoyment of life, I love to eat. It's one of my top pleasures. If you have teeth, you're going to be able to do a lot better than if you don't have teeth. And if you talk to patients that have dentures or partials, they don't chew as well as somebody that has a good set of teeth. I mean, that's a compromised situation from the get-go. It also helps with a number of factors. I mean, your teeth are like paroreceptors. And so they tell you, you know, how much pressure are you putting with your jaw? And so when you have teeth, there's a lot. If you look at the way the brain is designed, I think it's like 40 or 50% of the impulses from your brain go to your mouth or your teeth. I mean, it's a high percentage. A lot less go to your arms and your legs than go to your teeth. And so there's a lot of reasons for that. As I said, it keeps you balanced. I mean, you know, you can tell if you're biting too hard on a tooth. So you have proprioception, so it says, you know, don't do that, because that's putting pressure on your jaw, other parts of your body. It's going to cause other problems if you're overstressed, clenching, grinding, doing things with your teeth. So your teeth play a critical function. But I guess the primary thing that I would say is nutrition and ability, you know, to eat. Now, if a person loses all their teeth, that doesn't mean it's over. I mean, like I say, but they're going to have to compensate for that loss, just like if you were a bear or a wolf and you didn't have teeth, it's going to be a lot harder for you to survive because you're not going to be able to chew and eat and get the nutrition you need to, you know, to strengthen and make your body well.
Yeah, I was after a concern about people who don't have teeth. You
know, right.
What are they missing from their health?
Well, I think the biggest thing they'd look at when they look at studies is how well they can masticate or chew food. And like I say, and then along with that comes the quality of life. you know, how is great is your life, you know, because you don't have teeth. And I think you lose a lot. If you ask people that have dentures, they will tell you that it's a struggle. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, whatever we put in there that's man-made is never going to be as good as what the original version was.
So how do we keep the original version?
You do your best to brush and floss. Keep flossing, right? We talk that at work. That means a lot of things to young people. Keep flossing, right? That's not a dental thing. Anyway.
So tell us a little bit more about brushing and flossing. It seems very
basic.
Very basic, but at the same time, aren't there some certain techniques that you would recommend?
Yeah. The hygienist, it's amazing. Our hygienist, she has at least, I don't know how many different techniques, that Stillman technique. There's a lot of different brushing patterns that people can use. A lot of it depends on how good a job you're doing. Some people do too good a job, and you can actually cause destruction of your teeth if you're brushing like horizontally. So the number one thing you probably hear from hygienists, dentists, and everybody else is try to go with a circular pattern as best you can. That's probably why spin brushes and things are good, because they're working on a circular pattern rather than a horizontal brush. And then I don't know where they came up with the two-minute rule. That's beyond me. But it seems like people like guidelines, you know, it's like why this is effective. So they give people a general guideline. 2 minutes is a good thing. Some people probably get it done a lot faster. Some people might take more time. It depends on the current situation, your mouth, how difficult it is to access certain areas. Can you do efficient job quickly, or does it take more time? The other thing, when you're brushing, you're doing two things. You're working on keeping the teeth clean, as also the periodontal health, or the gums that support the teeth. And so that activity or that brushing of the teeth also stimulates and removes the bacteria that's in the gums as well as on the teeth.
Do you actually brush your gums as well?
Well, when you're brushing your teeth, you're hitting your gums. I mean, if you're not, you're pretty good. I mean, they come together, so it's kind of hard to hit one and not hit the both. I mean,
what about brushing your tongue? Are you supposed to do that?
You can do that. That's not disallowed. I mean, there's some people, once again, not everything's equal in life. Some people's tongues look like the rugs on the wall here. I mean, they're fissured tongues, and they can get a lot of plaque involved in that surface. If you look at the wall behind you, you'll see what a rug looks like. And you can just imagine that the plaque's going to get in that surface much easier than something like this floor. It's going to be a lot easier to keep clean. And so there's a lot of variation out there. But a lot of people, it's not going to be to your disadvantage when you're brushing your teeth and your gums to use your brush and clean off your tongue as well. For some people, they actually make tongue scrapers that you can scrape your tongue. And for some people, that's a helpful thing. You know, the way the bacteria works and reason they tell you to brush more than once a day is because the bacteria takes time to colonize or formulate before they can cause a lot of damage. So if you're blasting these things and you're disrupting their environment, you're going to be protecting your teeth, because they actually have to colonize or formulate plaque on your teeth before they can be destructive. So just the simple act of blasting everything out is helping you keep a much healthier mouth.
You've been listening to part one of Kamau Dental Office Radio, a production of the Kamau Medical Center. The executive producer and host is Dr. Stephen Stake, Chief Operations Officer. The audio producer and engineer is Joseph Orozco, lead producer, KIDE. It was recorded in the KIDE Studio 91, Hoopa, California. Music from Jerry Elford's Medicine Beat CD. Tune in next week when we'll hear part two, Kamau Dental Office Radio. For Kamau Medical Center and KIDE, we thank you for listening.